We now continue with the exposition of the Word of God, and please find this time in your Bible, Psalm 131. Psalm 131. We're going to read this short psalm, only contains three verses, a Psalm of David. Psalm 131, a song of ascent of David. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Amen. Let us pray. God, thank you for this opportunity once again to learn from you through the exposition of your word. Speak to us, O Lord. Comfort our hearts and help us to trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Psalm 131 is a song of ascent. And boys and girls, that means that this was a song written by King David and used by the Jews, by the Israelites, as they were ascending or going up to Jerusalem for one of their three annual feasts. So as they were walking, they were singing these psalms. That's why these songs of ascent are also called pilgrims' songs. Because as they were going to Jerusalem, walking, they were singing these songs. It was written by David, the king of Israel. And it is in the context of David, who was the king of Israel, that the words that we find in this psalm are very remarkable. We learn that this psalm is really a call to humility and hope in the Lord. A call to humility and hope in the Lord. And David says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Notice how he begins. He begins by saying, Lord. Other versions of the Bible say, O Lord. And David knows that what he is about to say, he is saying before the Lord, who knows his heart, who knows not only what he did externally, but also what was happening inside of him. So all of us as Christians know that everything we say and do, we do it before the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, who is present everywhere and who knows everything, who knows everyone. He knows us from the inside and outside. He knows us well. And that's why David says, Lord, my heart is not haughty or proud. You see, how can we say that when one person says, my heart is not proud, he's speaking the truth? We don't know it, because we cannot see the heart. But David is confessing first to God, to the Lord who knows the heart, to the Lord who created the heart, and who knows when we are speaking the truth or not. So David says, my heart, the inside of me, is not haughty or proud. This is truly remarkable coming from a king, because we know that kings and men or women in high positions are not usually humble. They are proud and arrogant. But David, before saying it to us, to the people of Israel, he's confessing his humility to the Lord, because the Lord knows that what he's saying is true and certain. That doesn't mean that David was always humble. We know that he was also a sinner. But true believers repent of their sins of arrogance and pride, and we confess that we want to be humble before the Lord. So David says, my heart is not haughty, it's not prideful, proud. And this is so important, brothers and sisters, because if we haven't changed in the inside, if the Lord hasn't changed our hearts, we can pretend to be humble, but we are sinning against the Lord. It is also important because everything we do, says the Lord Jesus Christ, comes out from our hearts. So if our hearts are proud and arrogant and haughty, then that means that everything we do will be contaminated by that. So the Lord then is the God who sees our hearts, and he wants us to have clean hearts, pure hearts. That's why David himself, in Psalm 51, if you recall, a psalm of repentance, he says in that psalm, in 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You see, create in me a clean heart, O God. Yes, brothers and sisters, we all have to do that. We have to ask the Lord to give us a clean heart. That is so basic, so fundamental, because the Lord not only judges what is outside, but also and first of all, what is inside. Notice what David says immediately. He says, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. And it seems that there is an order here. If you are arrogant, if there is pride, haughtiness in your heart, that will be revealed, according to our verse, through your eyes. You will look down on people. You will despise people. That is not the only way to show that we are proud in our hearts, but that is for sure one of the ways in which we communicate what is in our hearts. You know as well as I do that people, as soon as they have a higher position in life, it seems that that gives them the right to look down on other people who have a lower position. And we despise people. Well, David knows that the only way to stop that sin, the sin of the eyes, is to have a clean heart. David knows too that all men have been created in God's image and likeness, and we should love our neighbors and not despise them. Do not hate them. So, brothers and sisters, this is a true confession. And a true confession is confessing first our sin to God and letting him know that we are repentant. My heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Arrogance, brothers and sisters, it is a common sin in our society today. It is a sin that has been present throughout the history of humanity. Some commentators believe that this psalm was written in the context of King Saul accusing David of being a proud man, an arrogant man. We don't know for sure. if that was the occasion. But that very fact teaches us that this psalm applies to all of us because we are tempted, we are inclined to be arrogant, to despise people, to hate people. Give me a clean heart, O Lord. It is especially important that the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10, he says the following regarding the heart. Why is David putting emphasis on the heart first? Well, he knows that we are sinners. And as Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Yes. Why do we put emphasis on having a clean heart? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That is why. And the Lord knows our heart. He searches our heart. So we can deceive people, but we cannot deceive the Lord. David continues saying in his confession, neither do I concern myself with gray matters, nor with things too profound for me. Notice that David now proceeds to address an issue that is so common for us. David says, neither do I concern myself with great matters. If you have a proud heart, if you're arrogant, you will be striving always after great matters, even though you know that you cannot reach them. You will pretend to be someone who you are not. You'll pretend to be rich when you're not. You'll pretend to be important when you're not. And David says, neither do I concern myself with gray matters. He was a sinner, and for sure he committed many sins, and perhaps this was one of them, that David was so concerned with doing great things so that people may see him, so that he may gain reputation. And our society, it seems, nowadays, probably more than before, is looking for great matters, to be important, to be praised by people. But when that happens, we will be disappointed. We will be disappointed because we are not always able to achieve some great things in life. But do you have to in order to be happy, in order to be content? Do you have to achieve great things, great matters in life? No, you do not. What we all need to do is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us comfort and peace, and we learn contentment, as the Apostle Paul also says. So, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, as you are going into high school or college, this will be a temptation for you. You, out of arrogance perhaps, will want to achieve great things as if they were an end in themselves. But let me tell you, you do what you can. Just trust in the Lord. And if you trust in Him, He will exalt you in due time. He will crown you. He will reward you. So David has taught us two important things. To have a clean heart. Not to be arrogant in our hearts. And also, not to be so concerned with great matters. The Lord Jesus Christ says, what good it is for a man to gain all the world if he loses his soul. What good it is. And boys and girls, let me tell you, as we are growing, We have that temptation. We have aspirations in life. We're not denying that. We were created by God to do things and to excel. But that is different from becoming so concerned with great matters as if them will bring happiness to your life. But this doesn't only have to do with young people. It has to do with all of us. It has to do with pastors too. Nowadays, probably more than before, you can see that pastors are everywhere except in their church, right? They are in this conference, in this meeting, and they want to be seen by other people. They are so concerned with great matters. No, be content with the things that the Lord has given you. Enjoy what you have, who you are in Christ, and you'll be happy. You'll be content. You'll be glad. Next, David addresses another important point when he says, "Nor with things too profound for me." Let me tell you, as human beings and sinful human beings, we do not only want to achieve great things, but we want to be God. We want to know everything. We want to be able to do everything. But guess what? You're not God. We are human, limited, finite beings and creatures. We cannot do everything. And it is just fine not to know all things. We all have different gifts. But the temptation is that we want to go into these things that are too profound, and we forget that there is a division, a chasm, so to say, between God the Creator and we ourselves the creature. But that is the consequence of having an arrogant heart. If in the inside you're arrogant, you will despise others. You will be so concerned with great matters that you won't be happy at all in your life, and you will pretend to be God Himself, knowing all things. And once again, this psalm is addressed not to unbelievers. Sometimes we're tempted to believe, this doesn't apply to Christians. Well, it does. It was written for you and me because we are arrogant. We concern with great matters only, and we want to know everything. You can see it nowadays on Facebook, when there is a debate on Facebook. There is the guy who knows every single thing. Well, the Lord says that that is simple. We should be content knowing that God is our God, that we are His redeemed people, that we have been forgiven, and that we have eternal life. And if we are faithful, and if we are responsible, the Lord will indeed bless us. Boys and girls, you know, if you maintain your room clean, if you help your mom and dad at home, If you do those little things, then you'll be able to do the greater things. Isn't it true? But if you don't know how to clean your room or wash your cup and plate, how can you aspire to be the manager of name the company? Right? So that applies to all of us. Let us do what we can do with God's strength. Let us put into practice His commandments, and let me tell you, because I've learned it by experience, you'll be happy. You'll be content. God has created us in a special way, and we have to accept that. Notice what David now says in verse 2. "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Yes, I have calmed and quieted my soul." If you are arrogant, if you are concerned with great matters and with things too profound for you, will you have a calm and quieted soul? Will you be able to sleep peacefully at night? No, you won't. But if you trust in the Lord, if you ask Him to give you a clean heart, a humble heart, then you'll be able to go to bed and truly rest. I have calm and quieted my soul. True peace for the believer then begins from the inside. Notice what the psalmist says also in Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. He says the following, Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. He says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So we should seek with our soul the Lord, His communion, His company. We should be humble before Him in order to have a quieted soul. Brothers and sisters, as parents, for those who have children, I always say that the way you react to problems, your attitude that you take toward problems in life will teach your children also how they are going to behave, how they are going to face problems. And sadly, I have failed on this. I am not the man who is always quieted and calm. I am not the husband or the father who is always taking things easy and with patience and wisdom. And I ask the Lord for forgiveness. If you don't have a quieted soul, you will show that in the way you confront problems in your life. But once you rest in the Lord, once you know that you are in the hands of the Lord, you'll be able to have a quieted soul. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come to me, all those who are weary and burdened, and you will find rest in me. Your soul will find rest. And now David continues to describe how his soul is quieted. And he says, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. And this has been interpreted in at least two ways, if I'm not mistaken. The first one is, and both ways amount to the same conclusion. The idea is that when a child is hungry, a baby is hungry, he will cry and scream for milk. And when his mom feeds him or her, after he or she is full, you know, the baby just rests in the arms of his mom. And he enjoys. He's satisfied. His soul is quieted. It's calm. He doesn't worry about anything else. That's the first interpretation. And the second one is, like, weaning is a process in which the babies are introduced into new foods, right? And once they learn and adapt to eating new food, they stop, you know, having food from mom. And then they do not scream and cry to be fed by mom. So now the children long for mom and not just for the milk. They really rest in the arm of his mother, enjoying their mother for who she is, not for the benefit that they can get from her. And that is true. We as believers, when we have confessed our sins to the Lord, when we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we mature in our faith, and when we are humble before Him, we come to rest and enjoy God for who He is and not for the blessings that He gives me, that He gives us. We are so tempted to confuse things. We love the Lord as far as He blesses me, as far as things are going well with me. But that is not true trust in the Lord. We cannot have a quieted soul until we love the Lord for who He is, when we rest in His arms like a child who is full and completely satisfied. And finally, brothers and sisters, the Lord says through David, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. So this psalm doesn't only express David's heart individually, but it also expresses the heart of all the people of God. It is a psalm that can be applied to a person individually, but also to the church, to the family, to the people of God. And that's why David says, O Israel, hope in the Lord. Yes, according to the context. We cannot trust in men or women who are arrogant, who despise other people, who concern only with great matters and with things too profound for them. How can we trust them? Well, our only hope is in the Lord. O Lord, Israel, hope in the Lord. So then we are all called and exhorted to hope in the Lord. And think about this. If we are all humble, and if we are looking for the interests of others and not only ours, and if we love the Lord for who He is, then as the people of God, we can come and hope in the Lord and know that things will go well. David says, O Israel, hope in the Lord. The Lord is our hope in times of abundance and also in times of want. He is our hope. But when do we have to hope in the Lord? When do we have to trust in the Lord, boys and girls? Notice verse 3. At the end of verse 3 says, from this time forth and forever, we have to hope, trust in the Lord all the time. Because the temptation is to trust and hope in Him only when we need Him. But David says, we have to practice, to cultivate this hoping in the Lord from this time forth and forever. The Lord is our hope now and forever. And brothers and sisters, to finish with our sermon, we believe that each psalm speaks to us something about the Lord Jesus Christ. Each psalm is like a window that shows us the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ used the psalms in the New Testament. He quoted from the psalms. Well, these psalms then speaks to us about the Lord Jesus Christ, about His heart, because He had a pure, clean heart. He was not arrogant, proud. He was always humble. Doesn't he say in Matthew 11:29, come to me and learn from me because I am humble from heart. He truly is the humble one. He truly is the one who submitted all his life to the Lord. He never despised anyone. He loved people. He loved them to the point that He brought the gospel to them. He brought the gospel to us in order for us to be forgiven and saved by Him. He had a quieted and calm soul. Remember when Jesus and His disciples were on the Sea of Galilee? and then there was a storm, and then the disciples, because of the wind and the waves, they were afraid, and the Lord Jesus Christ was sleeping in the boat. Isn't that amazing? In the midst of the storm, Jesus was quieted and calm. But the disciples were so desperate and scared. But when they came to Jesus, and when Jesus calmed the storm, they were amazed. So who is the one who really has calm and a quieted soul? In a perfect sense, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to be humble, you have to be in union with Christ. He is, in that sense, our best example. He is our Lord and Savior, but He is also the model for us, the pattern. He is the one who never had a haughty heart or lofty eyes. He was always humble and obedient to His Father in heaven, to the point of death, even the accursed death of the cross. But after that, He was exalted over all things by His Father. May the Lord give us a humble heart. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the peace that we can enjoy in Jesus Christ. We thank You that You are our God. That the Lord Jesus Christ is not ashamed of us, even though we do not always are what we are supposed to be. We pretend to be someone else, something else. But this morning, help us, O Lord, to confess sins of arrogance and pride and to be humble before You. To rest in Your arms like a weaned child. Like a child who is satisfied and full and content in the arms of his mother. So, O Lord, we pray that we may rest in You, in Your arms, knowing that You are in control of every single thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.